Welcome to Lost Light and Laughter. Today I have a special guest with me. I have Coach Hill. Coach Hill, I want to thank you so much for coming out, and I just want you to go ahead and share your story with my audience. Tell them a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name is Coach Hill. I've been in Bryan for 22 years. I came from North Texas in Denison. I just love being here and love teaching and educating our youth. I have a deep desire to educate them and to be around them and lead them in their endeavors.
Awesome. Well, as you know, the name of the show is called Lost Light and Laughter. Tell our audience about a significant loss that you experienced in your life.
Well, my significant loss is my independence. On November 20th of 2022, I was driving for a Christmas display park, Santa's Wonderland here, and I was returning on the bus with some customers, taking them to the mall where they park, and I was headed northbound on Highway 6, and I got in front of Academy Sports. And I looked to my left and I saw a car that was on fire that was going over the lanes headed toward my bus. And I didn't have time to react. And so the car hit my bus and my bus burst in flame by a miracle. Jesus got in the bus with me. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yes.
And he covered me. I didn't even feel the heat from the flames or the pain of the burning when I was in. I ended up getting life flighted to Houston. I had 17 surgeries. And on the third surgery, I actually passed away. And the Lord saw something in me that I wasn't finished yet, and he kept me here with my lovely wife and our family. I mean, it's just amazing what he can do.
Wow. Okay, so my mind is like blown because there's so many things you said just now, and I'm like trying to take it all in myself. Like, oh my goodness. So you died on the table?
Yes, on the operation table.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and he brought me back. After every before every surgery, they asked my wife, would she like to see a priest? And she kept telling them no, because God has me in his hand. And as a matter of fact, there was a doctor there that we didn't believe. He believed in God. And he saw me come through all these surgeries. And he said, I'm not saying it's God, but it's a higher power that that kept you here.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. When did you realize this is not a bad dream? This is real. This is actually happening.
Oh, on impact.
On impact.
On impact. Because I turned around and saw the flames. And I was halfway out the driver's side window. And I just kept yelling, somebody help, help me. I don't want to die this way.
Right.
And by the grace of God, this guy named John was driving by and he got out. And he actually was the only one that knew I was still in the bus alive. And he ended up pulling me from the driver's side window. And I laid on the ground and I think I must have passed out or something, because the next thing I remember is waking up in rehab.
Wow. Oh my goodness. That is a lot to take in. And I'm just mesmerized myself just looking at the hand of God throughout the whole situation. Like, and you've mentioned God. Like, what is your relationship with God? When did you come to know him?
Well, growing up in my household, my mom, she went to church every now and again, but I was one of those kids that I got up with a few of my friends And we went to a parkside church back home where the bus would come by and pick you up and drop you off and things like that. And so my relationship with God grew in a matter of minutes. I've always believed in God. I've always trusted in God. And I know now beyond any doubt that I know he's alive.
So, when everything happened, what did you pray?
Oh, just God, if it be in thy will to save me.
Did he say anything special to you that you can remember where you were just like, okay, God, I'm gonna make it through this?
Well, I really didn't hear God speak, but I kind of had a feeling he was there with me. It was just a feeling. I mean, there's no other way to explain it. I knew he was there, and I knew he was going to keep me.
What did it feel like when you made it back home?
Oh, man, it was exciting. I was in a hospital over a span of 6 months, and May 20th of 2022, I got to come on back home for the first time, and it was like, man, I could finally breathe again. It was exciting.
And how was life? We know life was different for you. Like, how did you reconcile the change?
I believe with all the help in the Bryan-College Station area that I had, all the support, all the prayer, it strengthened me to want to get back to where I was before the accident. And like I said, the occupational therapist and the physical therapist, they're tremendous. They're great people. That's sort of how I dealt with
That's awesome. And so, you know, the show, we talk about the loss, and we can see that you endured a great loss. When you felt like you lost your independence, how did you overcome that level of thinking, like saying, man, I lost my independence? Like, what did you do to help yourself keep going?
Prayer every night. Me and my wife pray every night, thanking God for his goodness and his blessings. And basically that's what I did. God has blessed me with a beautiful wife that takes care of me, and I see all the work she has to do on a day-to-day basis just to keep me I guess comfortable and things like that. So prayer is a big part of it.
Now, when was the first time you remember laughing? After everything has happened, you made it back home, or even in the hospital. Do you remember laughing there?
Oh, it wasn't a lot of laughter in the hospital and the rehabs. But after I got home, my wife is silly. She always dances around and try to get me to laugh and things like that. So she was a big part of my laughter and getting through everything. She played a great deal in that.
Do you remember a song she was playing? What was she doing?
I don't know. I don't remember, but I know it was something with her acting goofy or something like that. Yeah.
And you remember laughing, and you just felt so different in life. Like,
Yeah.
it felt good to just have that belly laugh, right?
Yes, it did. It did.
That's good. So tell us, you know, there are people that have experienced so many different tragedies in life, and I've interviewed so many different guests on different losses. What advice do you have for someone that have lost something and they just felt like they felt betrayed by God, or this shouldn't have happened to them? Like, what advice do you have for them?
To keep pushing, keep doing what they're doing. Always put God first and seek ye the kingdom of God first, and everything else shall be added. That is so true. Being in my situation, that when I felt at loss and why is this happening to me and things like that, I just turned to prayer, and I've always came out feeling better on the other side. Just stay blessed.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for coming in, doing this show. How can they reach you? Because I feel like I'm going to get this out there. People are going to see your video and they may want to talk to you. They want to interview you some more. They want to know, I'm going through this too, coach. How can I get through this? How can they reach you?
I can give you my wife's phone number at 979-204-1580.
Thank you so much for coming on and doing this show. I really appreciate it. And our
You're
listeners
welcome.
and our audience appreciate it as well.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Lost Light and Laughter. I'm your host, Michelle A., and today we have Sabrina Hill. So we just heard the interview of Coach Hill. Now we're going to get it from a wife's perspective. Sabrina, thank you so much for coming to the show.
Thank you for having us.
So, as you know, the show is called Lost Light and Laughter, and talk to us about your experience in the midst of everything with your husband.
It was very traumatic for going the same day we were out shopping, having a good time and everything. And then, did you get that phone call? And it's just like, life is just taken out of you. Because at first, it seemed like a dream, like a joke. And I remember I kept slapping myself saying, wake up, this is a dream, this is a dream. But I was awake. And so it was very hard.
Yeah. So when you got the call, you said you were just trying to reconcile that it's happening. When you saw him, what was going through your mind?
Just heartbreak. Heartbreak. It was very, very hard to see him, like that. And like I said, I kept telling myself to wake up. This is not real. I was crying uncontrollably, and it was a very hard night. Very, very hard night. When we got the call, it's kind of a funny night. It was different because usually when he goes to work at Santa's Wonderland, I'll, go to sleep, whatever like that, and wait for him to come home. But for some reason, I couldn't go to sleep that night. I couldn't go to sleep. And then I got the phone call or whatever, and my oldest daughter was there, and it so happened she couldn't go to sleep either. She was wide awake as well. And so getting that phone call was just like the hardest thing ever.
I can only imagine. Like, I heard it on the outside, and I was just like, and I didn't even know Coach personally or anything like that, but you do hear about it because we live in this town, and I'm like, oh my God, that's scary. And you're just thinking to your, like, how do you survive that? And we know it's the grace of God. Like, what was your relationship with God in the midst of all of this loss?
Strong believe in God. And so I knew, God had me, even though they kept telling me, call the priest in, or they even told me after his first surgery, you're not going to have time to call anybody else. He's not going to make it. So, you can see him now, but he's not going to make it. And I was like, no, he's going to make it. God is with him. God is with him. And so he, came out of that surgery. Then he had another surgery. And they're like, well, if you help somebody in town, maybe they can make it. But, he's not going to survive after that. But I kept, praying, and just my belief in God is just so strong that I knew that God was going to pull him through. And I was like, God, I love him. Please bring him back to me, is what I kept saying. Oh, please bring him back to me.
Yes. Was there a specific day when you realized, like, okay, God, I know he's going to make it through this? Was it a point where you just, like, your faith was just like, it's there, I'm confident, I'm good, like, I don't want to hear anything else the doctors have to say? Did you ever get to a point where you were just like, if they're not saying that he's li I don't want to hear it, like,
It was like that from day one. Like, I was like, I didn't want to hear what anybody had to say. They wanted me to go to grief counseling, and I wouldn't go. I refused. They wanted me to talk to this person. No, because God is going to bring him through. And it was just constant. God is going to bring him through. He's going to bring him through, And, God speaking to me, he's going to be okay. Just keep telling him over and over, he's the strongest man I know. Just keep fighting. Just keep telling him that over and over again. And I would tell him that every day, even though he was out of it, whatever, I still tell him that every single day. God's like, he hears you, and I hear you, and I'm with you. So just keep the faith.
Amen. You were a wife that would just still speak in life. You mm-hmm. like, he may not be able to hear me right now, but I'm just going to keep speaking life because yeah. I have that power. I have that authority. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to keep speaking life. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, that's yeah. wonderful. Mm-hmm. Now, what about the support? Because I know people kind of run in and, you know, sometimes it's overwhelming. What were you thinking when everything was happening?
When it first, like, happened that first month, I was a wreck. Even though I was, you know, like, earnestly praying and stuff, I was, just couldn't deal with, you know, people running in and out. So my youngest daughter was there, mm-hmm. you know, through the whole thing. And she was kind of like my traffic control. Mm-hmm. And so she would take the phones and mind the phones. She would handle everything mm-hmm. on the, you know, news and everything. She handled all of that so I could just, you know, concentrate on him and him getting better, him surviving and praying to God and all that. So, and then, you know, he had friends to come, you know, and visit and speak, you know, life to him as well. So mm-hmm. He's surrounded by people that love him, mm-hmm. you know. And so it's just amazing how many people love him. Because I remember me and him was talking that day. He said, if anything happened to me, girl, you don't have to worry about anything, you know, whatever. And he was like, I know everybody.
Right.
He always joke about that. We play all the time. Mm-hmm. So he would always joke about that. And I would say, nobody knows you. You don't know me, whatever. But to see as many people really did know mm-hmm. him or really did come to check on him, it was just amazing to me.
That is awesome. I know that listening to it just fills your heart when you see that level of support. Because sometimes you can feel isolated when something really bad happens. You're like, well, no one understands. And then God is showing you, like, there's a great cloud of witnesses right beside you, just supporting and encouraging you. Mm-hmm. Now, what about you? When was the first time you remember laughing after all of this loss?
I don't know. Like he said, I'm goofy, and I try to make him laugh. Mm-hmm. So it's just, you know, for real, dancing around or in his face. I always try to say, like, oh, you're so handsome, you're so cute. You know, I say, like, little things to
you're flirting with him.
I try to get in the laugh, you know, whatever. And I was like, yo, you're so handsome. I'm just going to kiss your face. You know, or something like that, and we'll both laugh.
Yeah.
And so I did that a lot. I still do it. You know, a lot.
Yeah. And I believe when you're laughing, you're healing.
Yeah.
And laughter is medicine for the soul. It really does help bring people back from hard situations. And so it's beautiful that you have a strong marriage and that you have a strong faith in God and you have wonderful people around you, because a lot of people just don't have that. Mm-hmm. So what advice or what would you say to someone that feels like they're struggling and they don't have the support that you have?
Continue to pray to God. Mm-hmm. He'll reveal it to you. He'll bring someone to you that you would think that it's not coming, but it will. But it's in his timing. And so he knows when to send somebody. He knows who to send. Mm-hmm. So just continue to, you know, look to God and pray for him, you know, for that help.
Amen. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And so what about you? Where can we reach you if we want to just get a hold of you? Because there might be a wife that's struggling. Like, how did you take care of yourself in the midst of all of this? I know you're helping him. You're trying mm-hmm. to keep the family. Because that's what women do, yeah. right? We try to hold everything together. Like, what did you do to take care of you?
Just little things. I have, like, this lady that she always, you know, like, bring us food because I like to eat.
We love to eat.
And so she'll bring us food, you know, whatever, and then talk to us all the time, you know. And then my other daughter will come, you know, and, you know, sit with him for a few. And let me just, I get, you know, like, peace out of doing little things, mm-hmm. like going to Walmart,
yeah.
you know, stuff
yeah,
like yeah. that. So just giving me a little time to just go to Walmart and then come back and, you know, little stuff like that.
That's awesome. out of everything that happened, what would you say that moment when you were just like, that's a God thing right there? When did you just say, okay, I know God did that for me? Not necessarily the accident, but for you as a wife and mom, that's just kind of going and putting everything together.
Mm-hmm. I know he opened his eyes for me on Valentine's Day because we missed mm-hmm. so many holidays. We missed Thanksgiving, yeah. Christmas, mm-hmm. New Year's. And on Valentine's Day, he opened his eyes and he mouthed, I love you.
Oh, my goodness.
So that, I'm like, thank you, Jesus. You know, that's what I wanted. Because, like, you know, he's very affectionate. Mm-hmm. Very affectionate. And, you know, like, holidays are big. Mm-hmm. You know, he's always, you know, like, getting me something or just writing me poems. He always would do stuff like that. Yeah. And so when he did that on Valentine's Day, and Mal, I love you, that really, I'm like, thank you.
Yes, thank you, God. God is so good. And I always say it, God is good and his mercy endures forever. Mm-hmm. And so, again, any last minute advice? Where can we reach you if we want to do another interview? People want to connect with you mm-hmm. and learn more about how you made it through?
Mm-hmm. My phone number, 979-204-1580.
Okay. And then we'll put their contact information down in this description box of the video so you guys can connect with them. Okay. And so I want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story and your wisdom. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
And this concludes our episode of Lost, Light, and Laughter.
It's gone because of my Lord. It's time to give praise, everybody. Give praise.
If you're interested in being a guest on Lost, Light, and Laughter, email me at lostlightlaughter@gmail.com.